tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory, of course, and welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I am very happy that you've returned. We had a little deluge, a little rain over here in San Antonio in early August, which is a rarity because typically in South Texas, we are over 100 degrees and not a drop of rain for the 3 months of summer. So it was nice to get a little thunder in the morning. So I'm very happy about that. Very happy about that. What else am I happy about? You listening. So before we begin, you can find all my articles and Kate's essential oil blend recipes and other recipes at naturopathicearth.com, which is N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H-I-C-E-A-R-T-H, earth.com. And of course, find us on social media or contact us personally so we can talk to you. So today we're going to start with the second part of our fluoride investigation, as we can call it. The first podcast episode, which I recommend you listen to before you listen to this one, because it would just make sense, was the history of fluoride. Was how did fluoridated water, and when we talk about fluoride, we're not really talking about fluoride, the element on the periodic table, or even sodium fluoride, which is the pharmaceutical grade fluoride, but we're talking about industrial grade hydrofluorosilic acid garbage number one, which is Picasso's most famous painting, as I used to jokingly tell my students, because I'm not a big fan of modern art or any type of modern art. So modern sculptures too, you know. And so I'd say, yeah, the name of that painting or sculpture is garbage number six. But anyways, they put hydrofluorosilic acid into our water, and it's essentially a byproduct of aluminum and phosphate fertilizer production, and they needed a place to put it. And so the big business interests of the early 20th century got together with some unscrupulous scientists to create some fraudulent studies to push onto the people. And then it was really, really spearheaded by Edward Bernays, who was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. And he, along with the ADA and the other hacks, were able to convince a large majority of Americans to fluoridate our water. Because, see, back then, and you still see this today, a lot of people go and talk to their doctor. When they enter the doctor's office, they still think the doctor is king and that you can't question them. Now, doctors, for sure, are absolutely very well educated, but they're not omniscient, and they're certainly not infallible, and they might not know certain things. So it's okay to ask questions. But imagine back in the 1950s, let's say, going to your doctor, you dare would not question him, and typically it was only a him back then, and what he said. You would just take everything that he said as gospel, and he parroted essentially whatever he learned in med school or dental school or wherever it was at. Nowadays, you see a little more, I say, discernment. People, perhaps it's because of the democratization of the internet that allows this to happen. You know, I know a lot of doctors, when I used to work at urgent care, they hated the internet because everyone was coming in as Dr. Internet from WebMD or wherever. They would Google their symptoms, and then the doctors would just roll their eyes. And I think some of that is just pride and the pride and arrogance of being a medical doctor, and just kind of I would not say all doctors have this, but I'm sure they have a certain amount of disdain toward the hoi polloi, toward the masses. And so when you bring up things that they've maybe never heard of, either alternative remedies, or even just, you know, clean eating. Like if you eat a ketogenic diet, perhaps that'll slow down the effects of Alzheimer's or something like that. Let's say they just haven't heard about it because they just haven't looked into it. Lots of times they get very defensive, or they just become very kind of arrogant because they're on the defensive. So times have changed. People are arming themselves with knowledge, and it should be that way. It shouldn't be a one-way road where the doctor tells you what to do and you do everything they say. You need to use your own discernment. It is your body, especially when it comes to high-risk acute issues like cancer or cardiovascular diseases, that you really need to do your own independent research and study to see what is the best treatment. Because going in particular with cancer, there's a lot of natural therapies that at the least would not hurt you, and at the most might actually help you, you know, aside from the tripod of treatment, which is poisoning, burning, and cutting, which is our treatment of cancer in the United States. But either way, I'm going off topic here. So fluoride was put into the water, and I mentioned in the previous podcast how there were different times throughout the last, about 50, 60 years where whistleblowers had come out and recommended that we would remove fluoride from the water because it is a toxin, and how those people were summarily dismissed and labeled quacks by the medical establishment and by the media. I also mentioned the Kingston-Newburgh study, which is probably the most famous study, how they fluoridated one town in New York and didn't fluoridate its neighboring city, and what the effects were, and that the town with the fluoridated water, the people there tended to have more side effects and more issues. So what we're going to talk about today are just four or five issues that come about that fluoride has been linked to, some maladies, and then we'll also talk about some ways that you can reduce your exposure to fluoride. And unlike, let's say, food dyes, which are relatively easy to eliminate from your life, partly because there's not so many code words for it, but you know, caramel, for example, caramel color is a code word for a food dye, but it is easier to get rid of food dyes in your diet than fluoride, unfortunately. But let's talk about the biggies. So the big one, I think, that most people perhaps are most familiar with is that fluoridated water is linked to lower IQ. I hinted to this in the previous podcast, but there's been anecdotal studies going back to the 1940s that fluoride was a neurotoxin that decimates the nervous system. There's been about 30 studies coming from various parts of the world, China, India, Mexico, the United States, demonstrating this link that fluoride has in lowering IQ. And when I mean fluoride, I'm essentially meaning the hydrofluorosilic acid. Even as recently as 2012, Harvard University released a study that said that fluoridated water lowers the IQ by 10%, especially in children. And if you're interested in seeing that study, of course, you can link it, or you can just go to Naturopathic Earth and go to my two fluoride articles, and I have actual link to the Harvard study. So you might want to check that out. And as I mentioned in the previous podcast, too, the whole belief of whether or not Stalin and Hitler put fluoridated water into their camps is kind of connected to this, because fluoride is kind of known to make you docile and compliant and very malleable, and kind of takes away your instincts. And they say maybe this has to do with the pineal gland, but I'm not particularly sure. But I really don't want to substantiate those claims, but it is kind of connected to this. So I do mention it to my students that this isn't some conspiracy theory, that even the veritable, distinguished Harvard University released a study saying that fluoridated water lowers your IQ point. So why would you want to be drinking water that lowers your IQ points, right? But, you know, you can remedy this, ladies and gentlemen. You know how you remedy lowering IQ? You know what kind of water you can drink? Smart water. Because, hey, if it's labeled and branded and sold as smart water, it must make you smart, right? Number two. Issue number two. You ever watch the McLaughlin Group? Poor guy, John McLaughlin. He was so great. It was a PBS show. It was like a roundtable discussion. That show must have been on for like, I don't know, that guy was like 100 years old. I used to love that show, but he'd go around and be, Pat Buchanan used to be on it, and be like, issue number two, issue number three. And then Dana Carvey had a great impersonation of that show on Saturday Night Live about 25 years ago. Number two, fluoridated water damages the thyroid gland. Now, we used to give fluoride tablets to patients in the middle of the 19th century who suffered from hyperthyroidism, so an overactive thyroid. For even then, they knew that fluoride slows the thyroid. But more recently, a study out of England showed that water fluoridation is linked to a 30% increase in the rate of hypothyroidism, hypo. And I think most of you guys know the thyroid gland, among other things, is responsible for metabolic function. And hypothyroidism tends to be a more common condition in the West. And it's most commonly seen or illustrated in weight gain, And lots of times people, either their thyroid, their T3 or T4 hormones that the thyroid makes stop working. And so they're given Synthroid or another drug. Synthroid is a portmanteau, synthetic thyroid, Synthroid. Or that's typically what they're done. You also see a lot of goiter in the thyroid as well. And then not necessarily related to that, but you see people have a thyroidectomy. Sometimes their thyroid is removed. And yeah, it's unfortunate. And then you can see a lot of, one of my favorite conditions that I mentioned to my students is Hashimoto, which is an autoimmune disease that afflicts your thyroid, Hashimoto's, but just like Hashimoto. So you got to understand, as a high school teacher, you got to entertain the kids. I mean, we're mostly MCs, just trying to entertain the kids and get them to enjoy learning at least a little bit. So fluoridated water damages the thyroid. Issue number three. Fluoridated water causes infertility. Now, this is one of the more, I guess this is probably the second most common. No, that's not true. I would say this is probably the third most common result or effect of fluoridated water, is that it can damage reproductive organs. And if you go back to what we talked about with the podcast on why our sperm is being reduced by 50% in the last 40 years, we talk about other toxins that are affecting it. So, of course, the hormone disruptors, the endocrine disruptors, and electromagnetic radiation, and perhaps vaccines and other things. But, and chlorine. Chlorine was a recent podcast that we had on that. And I'm sure I'm missing something else. Maybe it's chemtrails. But so fluoride administered to lab animals at high amounts damaged sperm production, leading to infertility. Studies both outside of the U.S. and China. China loves doing studies on fluoride because a lot of their soil is naturally fluoridic. Make that an adjective. Fluoridic. Anyways, they have studies coming out of both of those countries demonstrating that increased rates of infertility among couples living in a city where the parts per million of fluoridated water was its highest. So this goes back to population control, and we'll mention this at the end, but you notice with a lot of these toxins that are found in the water and that are found in the air, one of the things they cause is infertility. And so the question must be posited again. Are these just accidents? Like, oh, we didn't know. Like when 9/11 happened, you remember the Department of Defense was like, why weren't you prepared? They're like, we didn't know. We thought we was just a lapse in judgment. We thought the, you know, NORAD was ready. Or, you know, everyone was blaming everybody and they weren't ready. And so they were playing stupid. But here, it's the same thing. It's like either the people know that this is one of the side effects, not just with fluoride, but with all the other toxins that affect our reproductive system. Either they know and they just play stupid, or they don't know, which I find that hard to believe. I really find that hard to believe. I think that the people who put fluoride in the water amongst all the other toxins know this is a weapon that they can use for population control. Because as I mentioned in a previous podcast, it is one of the greatest lies of all time that we are overpopulated. But again, if you get kids at a young enough age, this is where we get the term kindergarten. I mean, this goes back to the Leipzig school of psychoanalysis. If you get kids at a young enough age, kindergarten literally means kindergarten in German. If you get kids at a young enough age, you can indoctrinate them into believing anything. And so one of the greatest lies of all time is that we are overpopulated as a world. And so when you proselytize that and you inculcate that belief into people and turn them into useful idiots, like, yeah, it is overpopulated, then it's easier to get them to do certain actions and behaviors that are counterintuitive and counterproductive to them, because in their mind, you got them to drink the Kool-Aid to make them think that the world is overpopulated. So like for occasion, abortion, you know, we kill something like 50 million babies a year in the United States. I think it's 50 million since 1973. Okay, that's way too many. But if you count with birth control and contraceptives, you know, I'm not saying it's getting close to 50 million, but I think it's like a million babies are aborted a year. But a lot of the rationalization behind that is, again, we're overpopulated. So, and conversely, when you see people that have large families, like the old Mormon family, Catholic families, Baptist families that have like 6-7 kids, people are like, oh my God, why don't you go adopt a kid? The world's overpopulated. So again, once you control people's thoughts, then it's very easy to manipulate them. It reminds me of that Orwellian statement, those who control the present control the past, and those who control the past control the future. So if you control the present, you can control the methods to which to indoctrinate and propagandize people to make them think the past was a certain thing. And once you can control the past, then you can control how they think for the future and for the future goal or policies that need to be implemented to make a better future for our country. So number four, fluoridated water leads to osteoporosis, increased hip fractures, and bone cancer. So excess fluoride in the body typically accumulates in the bone tissues as well as in the teeth. We mentioned briefly dental fluorosis, but when you get too much fluoride in the bones, it's called skeletal fluorosis. And there was a 1990 U.S. government study showed that animals given higher doses of fluoride have a greater incidence of osteosarcoma, which is a type of bone cancer. So this is one of the things that was mentioned in the previous podcast, is that the majority of Americans are already showing signs of overfluoridation. And I think that I mentioned that stat that the majority, I think 40% of teenagers are already showing signs of overfluoridation, and same for children. So this is just based on the fluoride that they're receiving in the water and in the food. And so what's going to eventually happen is this fluoride accumulates in the bones and destroys the bones. And this is yet another bad thing, right? This is another bad thing. So too much exposure to fluoride leads to accumulation of in the body. We had mentioned before that even if you believe in the perhaps specious argument that fluoride is good for your teeth enamel, there is no study showing that ingesting fluoride is good for you in any way, shape, or form. So the rate of fluorosis is as high as 80% in some parts of the fluoridated world. So 80% of those countries that are fluoridated. And that's not really a lot of the world, because I mentioned in the previous podcast that the large majority of European countries, about 98% of the European countries, do not fluoridate. Japan does not fluoridate. And so you look at the countries that do fluoridate in the West, and it's mostly going to be Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and of course, Los Estados Unidos. The rate of fluorosis is as much as 80%. And skeletal fluorosis, as I mentioned, leads to the hardening of bones and joints and leads to fractures and other bone maladies. So these are all just some of the issues that we have to deal with fluoride toxicity. And I think the two biggest ones, because people are like, oh, broken bones, osteoporosis, you know, come on. There's other worse things. But I think if you look at infertility and low IQ, I think those are two big things that people are like, yeah, maybe we should get this stuff out. So let's go to a quick commercial, and then we'll talk about ways that you can reduce your fluoride exposure. Are you looking for a natural remedy for some of your medical maladies? Are you looking for a nice cocktail to perhaps relax your mood and allow you to sleep, or conversely, to give you some pep and some energy? Then please contact Kate's apothecary. Kate McCall, one of the founders of Naturopathic Earth, can make homemade essential oil recipes that will assist you in whatever medical malady that you have. So please contact Kate at katemccall@naturopathicearth.com, or contact her directly from the website and she can help you. She will make you an essential oil blend and ship it straight to your house for a reasonable price. Also, if you like to become more educated on essential oils, listen to her podcast, Kate's Apothecary. Find it on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else. Are you in a giving mood? Do you want to help out two broke teachers then please go to Naturopathic Earth, click on any of the Amazon links, and make any purchase on Amazon, and within 24 hours, Kate and I get a small 4% commission from that purchase. So if you make a $50 purchase of, I don't know, shoes, we get, oh, quick math, what is that, $1? Right, God, a math teacher's be mad at me right now. So that really just helps us to pay for the server and for the podcast and for the microphones. So please consider that, guys. Go to Amazon, go to our website, click on the links, and before you make any purchases at Amazon, click through those links, and we get a small commission. We really would appreciate that. Thank you very much. Okay, so we are back. So let's talk about ways that we can reduce fluoride exposure. So lower IQ, infertility, this reminds me of the eugenics fad that was back in the 30s. You know, there was this idea, and kind of the white man's burden, that it was okay to sterilize people. The Buck case of 1926, actually, by the Supreme Court, gave states the right to sterilize people that they deemed feeble-minded. And so you saw many states, in particular in the South, that actually sterilized feeble-minded, or I guess what we would call special needs people today. But a lot of the people they targeted were actually minorities. And so eugenics was the belief that we should sterilize or make infertile those that were dim-witted, to cull out the flocks. And so only the educated and the beautiful would reproduce, and therefore we would have a better breed of man and woman. So this is very social Darwinian. But you'd be amazed. I mean, eugenics, it's really kind of toned down after World War II because Hitler kind of gave it a bad name. But really, Hitler got the idea of eugenics from America. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a very famous and outspoken proponent of eugenics. And you can look at her writings, but the writings of a lot of people in the 1930s that was pushing for sterilization. So this is why I mentioned just with the fluoride, this could be one of the possible reasons why they push water fluoridation, was to make it much more difficult for the common man to reproduce. Because as I mentioned before, and definitely in that podcast, we are suffering from a fertility epidemic right now. And I'm not just only going to attribute it to fluoride in the water, because as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, there's numerous toxins that can make you infertile or mess with your hormone system. But let's talk about ways we can reduce it. Okay, so clearly we know that toothpaste has it. Some brands of gum have it, fortified with fluoride, or because 4 out of 5 dentists who've been bought out or poorly educated recommend fluoride. Baby formula, water used for baby formula, a lot of those have fluoride. If any of you guys use formula, sometimes they recommend, you might go to the grocery store and you'll see like water in a jug and then fluoridated water. Please don't ever buy the fluoridated water, please. Oh, no. So avoid those. But here's the biggest issue is the water, right? The water. So you think, oh, okay, well, fluoride, I'll just buy a filter from Home Depot. The large majority of filters don't take out fluoride. As I mentioned in the chlorine podcast, you have a better chance of finding a filter to remove chlorine and radon 222, which is another toxin in the water. But fluoride is very hard. There was a company that used to sell in conspiracy podcasts way back in the 90s and the early noughts called the Berkey Water Systems. And at one point, I actually did have a Berkey, even though it was in plastic. But I've seen some studies now showing that the Berkey filters don't even remove fluoride. So I would definitely do some research on that. But the number one thing is definitely try to find a filter. And these are going to be expensive, guys. Unfortunately, they're going to be expensive. But to try to find a filter that removes fluoride from the water. Also, you need to find, similar to chlorine, is to find a filter that you can screw onto your shower head. Because the biggest source of fluoride is not from drinking water in terms of parts per million dosage of fluoride, but it's actually from inhaling fluoride in hot showers. Now, a lot of people, in particular women, not to target them out, but I guess I just targeted them out, tend to like to take those long, hot showers, right? Those long, hot baths. Well, you're inhaling fluoride, guys. You're inhaling fluoride. So if you want to take a hot bath, by all means, do it. But just buy a fluoride filter to extirpate, to remove, to purge out that fluoride. The bigger problem is this, that even if you do get a filter for your water and for your shower, most processed food uses fluoridated water because they're using tap water. They're using drinking water. And before I go off topic and totally forget, most bottled water has fluoride in it. It is not non-fluoridated, okay? Despite the picture on the bottle showing that it's coming from the Ozarks or from some pristine lake in the Cascades, the majority of bottled water is municipal water. It's city water supply, which I mentioned in a previous podcast. And even if it is tapped from some place that seems to be pristine, they do fluoridate it, okay? So you can't avoid fluoridated water. The main way you can avoid fluoridated water is you can buy distilled water. With distilled water, if I remember correctly, I think they heat up the water, which removes the fluoride. But a lot of people don't recommend you drink fluoridated water. Now, I did drink fluoridated water for quite a long time, and I didn't have any problems. And I used to give distilled water to my children when they were young, when they were getting formula. And so I would just kind of do some research into that, but just know distilled water, the bottled one, even though it comes in plastic, the bottled distilled water does not have fluoride, but regular bottled water does. But going back to the processed food, so you're looking at cookies and cereals and crackers and chips and all those things. Think of all the processed foods, all the Franken foods, the fake foods. They're made by using water. They shoot water into it, or they're mixed in a watering bowl. So all of them are going to at the least have trace amounts of fluoride, trace amounts. And this builds up. So, I mean, this goes back to one of the arguments for the proponents of fluoridated water. They're like, well, the parts per million that we have of fluoride is so infinitesimal, it won't affect the body and the liver can filter it out. But see, this is the problem that goes on with plastics and all the other toxins. Is what about the cumulative effect? You're looking at being exposed to these toxins from in utero to whenever you die. So 50, 60, 70, 80 years of this small dosage of not just fluoride, but plastics, parabens, phthalates, food dyes, radiation, vaccines, blood-brain barrier, all these things, you know, they add up. And so your liver is like, slow the freak down, okay? I'm about to pass out. You might as well just be drinking alcohol and give me cirrhosis or eat too much junk food and give me fatty liver disease. I can't handle this. So, I mean, just remember the cumulative effect. And that was the beauty of the Kingston-Newburgh study. That was a longitudinal study that went over 10 years. And we just need more of those studies. We definitely need more of those studies. So, if you want to avoid fluoridated water, really got to eliminate processed food, which is a great idea altogether, right? Just eat whole foods, like the mantra that I have of God didn't make it, don't eat it. So there's a lot of medical reasons, health reasons, that we should not be eating Franken foods at all. And this is just going to be another one, right? Just so stick to things that naturally occur in nature, fish and meat and chicken and nuts and seeds and produce and stuff like that. But make some room from dark chocolate, of course. Teflon pans, we've talked about in one of the five toxins you got to get out of your house, which I think was MPE 12. Teflon pans are banned in the European Union, and they planned here in the United States a few years ago to have them banned by, I think, 2019. So gave big business 5 years to profit off of making those Teflon pans still before they phase them out. But Teflon pans are a major problem. You need to stop using Teflon pans. Some pesticides, medications, and teas also contain fluoride. I mentioned that the plant that green tea and black tea and white tea come from has a naturally high amount of fluoride already. And that's why I recommend white tea, because white tea is harvested when the plant or the tree is still relatively young. Okay, so those are some things. So the big things are going to be get the fluoride filters for the shower and the water, eat a paleo diet, breastfeed your children. Because even if you are being exposed to fluoride by drinking water, they find very negligible amounts of fluoride actually in breast milk. So definitely the most obvious thing is going to be avoid fluoridated toothpastes, and that's pretty easy. You can find tons of non-fluoridated toothpaste nowadays, either online or at your supermarket. So definitely switch off of that and then buy the two filters and try to eat a paleo diet. I mean, those are going to be the easiest ways to at the least lower the amount of this known neurotoxin. Because I love you to death, and believe me, there are enough toxins lowering our cognition and our memory. and weakening our immune system, not to mention weed. No offense to all you proponents of marijuana, that we don't need fluoride to be helping that out. So let's get that fluoride lowered to save our brains and save the gonads. Save the gonads. So last thing I want to mention, on my website, the one I mentioned about the five reasons you should stop eating or should eliminate fluoridated water, I do have a link to a couple of filters on Amazon that you can look at.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.